If this is your first time with us here today at Grace, it's too late now. You're stuck. Everybody's sitting and the doors are closed. No, we are truly glad to have you here. It is an honor for you to spend your Sunday morning with us. And we hope that you find yourself at home and truly comfortable. Trunks. They are not made to be smashed with hammers. Sorry, guys. No, they are made to hold things that are precious and valuable. How many of you either had a hope chest that someone held on to for you, or you are currently holding on to a hope chest for someone else? Okay, maybe you don't have a hope chest. Maybe you just have an heirloom, something that came to you from generation past, or you are preserving for generations to come. These treasures we hang on to, we don't do them for the sake of hoarding. At least I hope that's not why we do it. We hang on to them because we know they might mean something to those who come after us. Possibly the value of the item will skyrocket and it'll be an antiques roadshow moment for your grandson. Or it's great-great-grandma's coin purse with a story attached of making it to new life in the land of opportunity. Whatever the reason is, we hold on to these things because we know that they hold promise, that they hold value, that they hold hope for future generations. Regardless of that reason, we put it in the box, and putting it in that box is an act of sacrifice. You can't use it right now because you want it to be available for future generations to have and to hold. This is exactly the concept we see playing out in the first church in one very serious way we get to love our church. Open with me, if you would, in your copy of the scriptures to Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. If you do not have your copy of the scriptures with you, it's all right. We're going to have the words projected on the screen. Just want you to know we're not making stuff up. If you do not own a copy of the scriptures, please see myself or one of the greeters. We have a copy just for you to take home. It is the most powerful thing you could ever have in your life. It will change your life. It's changed mine and many others in this room. So please don't leave without a Bible in your hands. Now, as we read, please stand with me in honor of reading the very breath of God. Now, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thank you. You may be seated. Join with me, if you would, in a word of prayer. God, we want to love your church the way that you do. We want to be rooted and grounded in love so that we may have the power, together with all believers, to comprehend the length and width and height and depth of your love, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be overflowing with all your fullness. Teach us to love sacrificially as you do. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. When it comes to possessions, the first church knew how to take care of each other. They knew how to love each other with their possessions, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. Love by giving. I wonder how long it took for someone in the church to say, hey, I need to hold on to some of my stuff. I mean, it sounds so foreign to some of us. It's a great idea if you're the person that has the need. Just go to the church, they'll fix it, no problem, right? But what if you're the person in the church that's applying that need? We have even this mental resistance. We have this discomfort with getting rid of our stuff to help somebody else out with their responsibility. I mean, we do our fair share, right? I mow my neighbor's lawn. I might even rake their leaves, shovel their snow, provide a meal from time to time. We might even be so generous as to actually give the full 10% on our tithe. Surely we give enough for God, right? No, we don't. And stop calling me Shirley. Haven't we given enough? I wonder if sometimes our mentality about our possessions are a little like a flock of seagulls.
You rats with wings.
The bloke's been looking for his boy Nemo.
Nemo?
He was taken off the reef by divers and this...
They're taking it, Harvey! Hey, hey, say that again. You just said something about Nemo. What was it?
Mine?
Can you tell I have a 2-year-old son? Oh, this scene perfectly captures the personality of seagulls. I mean, have you ever been to the beach and watched someone feed seagulls? They are ravenous and loud. Sometimes, when it comes to our resources, our finances, our possessions, even our time, we sound an awful lot like one of those seagulls. Mine? This is mine. So, how do we stop treating our resources like seagulls and start treating them like the saints the Bible calls us, as Christians, as Jesus followers, as the church? From the passage that we read, Acts chapter 4, I think there are three major things that we can do. First, release your grip. The early church had such a loose grip on their possessions that the historian Luke details everything that goes on in the account of the first church. He writes that not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. The first church had a loose grip. They didn't let the things that they owned possess them. They held it very loosely. So much so that someone came to the church and had need. Fine, I'm going to sell my house, whatever. I'll just live with somebody else. Here's your need met. And in case we're quick to say, well, look, they just didn't have a lot at that time, so it's just easier for them to have a loose grip. Read a little bit ahead. Go ahead. It's fine. Check out the first verses of chapter 5. Just a little bit after everybody started doing this, Ananias and Sapphira struck dead for lying about how loose their grip was. God takes this kind of seriously. Okay, God takes this very seriously. It was life or death in his eyes. But the first church saw their possessions much differently than we do. Paul puts it this way in his first letter to the Corinthians. What do you have that you did not receive? It's a rhetorical question. And he's implying by this question that they, and by extension you and I, didn't have anything that did not first come from God. So guess what? We don't give to the Lord. We return to the Lord. That is a distinct view. When you give an offering, when you give of your time, when you give of any resource that God has entrusted to you, guess what? It was his to begin with. This is simply not the place to make excuses of being a seagull. Because the truth is, it's not ours. It never was. It was God's, and we are the bank. And God desires to see a great return on his investments in you and I. His measurement for a good return is how we love people with the things we've been given. So release your grip. Let it go. Please, girls, don't start singing. Release your grip. It's not yours. This is a hard sermon, as hard a sermon for me to hear as it is for you. Trust me. And this is not a simple message of, oh, give to the church, give more to the church, give more to the church. That's not at all what this passage is teaching. It is not at all what I am preaching. So hear me clearly. This isn't what everybody grumbles about. Every time I go to that church, they're asking for money. That's not what we're saying here. I'm not asking you to give more to the church in the offering and tithes. It would be easier to say, give it all to the church. We'll be your clearinghouse. And of course, we'll keep some for administrative costs, right? That would be really easy to do. But the truth is, the first church didn't demonstrate love for one another by giving to the corporate entity called the church. They loved by sharing everything with one another, the personal entity called the church, the people. Not his building, not his programs, his people. And though the apostles were obviously helping with distribution in what we just read, clearly they weren't maintaining lawns or ordering curriculum. Not that there's a thing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong here. Lawns and curriculum, that is. The fault comes in when we fail to meet the needs of others with the resources God has given us because of lawns and curriculum. That is where we fail, myself included. So release your grip, then tighten your belt. We need to make room in our budgets to help people. That's exactly what the first church was doing. Luke reports that there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. See, the early church was not keeping a hope chest for future generations. They were not storing up for a rainy day. They weren't even holding on to their personal possessions. They were not holding on to their property deed. They were liquidating, folks. They were getting rid of it all. They were getting ready to demonstrate their love for their church by giving. No, in all honesty, Mr. Halverson, I am not recommending sanctified socialism, okay? That's not what we're proposing here. What I am proposing is that we be willing to tighten our belt and make sacrifices for one another. See, I spent 24 hours in this building with teens. That was enough for me to say, no, we don't need to just all move into the fellowship hall together, okay? So that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm simply suggesting that if our lifestyles, mine included, keeps us from being generous to one another, it's time to make a change. Maybe I need a less expensive car. Maybe I need to downgrade my cable or do away with it altogether. Maybe I could use a little bit less data on my cell phone plan. Maybe I don't need that cup of Starbucks as badly as I thought. Or maybe I need to start walking places instead of eating up gas so that I have money in my budget so that when somebody comes to me and says, look, I've got this need, we'll have that money available for God to use in that moment. Like the single mom who's riding the bus to work because her car broke down. Like the family whose father just lost his job and now they're at risk of losing their home. Like the retiree who has to choose amongst his prescriptions because he can't afford all of them. Like the promising college student that has to drop out simply because of the lack of funds. See, I'm not just talking about the homeless person on the street corner. We need to help them too. But the way we communicate love for our church is by making sure we aren't neglecting the needs of one another in this community without those fences as we pick up our brooms and serve one another. And here's a hard statement to say. The only way we can do that, the only way we can meet those needs is if we know what those needs are to begin with. Don't misunderstand. I'm not just saying it is your responsibility to let us know what your needs are. By the way, it is your responsibility to let somebody know what your needs are. I took lots of classes. Mind Reading 101 was not one of them. Let somebody know. Speak up. But what I am saying, what I am emphasizing here, is that it is our responsibility, everyone's responsibility. Again, everyone's responsibility to love each other so deeply that we can sense those needs as they arise. We know when they are coming up. To look well past the fences we all put up and really know each other. I'm sorry, deacons, if you are not doing this already, some of you do. In fact, I think a good portion. If you are not already doing this, please call the people on your care list once a month. 5 minutes just to get to know what's going on in their life. Get to know what needs are coming up so we can prepare. And if you hear of a crisis, surgery, death in the family, car crash, foreclosure, whatever it is, give the person a call. It'll mean the world to them, even if they don't need help. In that moment, their need, how you might give, is the resource of time, and it will mean the world. In your small groups, be listening up for those prayer requests, those things that are showing up. If you're not involved in a small group, I recommend it very highly because that is how we connect with one another in a very intimate way because we can only do so much here on Sunday mornings. So listen up to those. During Sunday schools, groups, make sure that you are sharing your prayer requests with one another. And once we've loosened our grips and tightened our belts, then we have the opportunity to give it all away. I'm curious, what would possess someone to give everything away like we see this church doing? What in the world could have that deep of an impact in a very materialistic world, by the way? Looked a whole lot like the United States of America at that point. I have my right to this property. They gave that all away. What in the world could possess them to do that? Let me recommend to you that they had a lesson from the master. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay down our lives for one another." These people had seen the greatest giver give so much more than you and I could ever give on the cross. And he laid it all down for you and for me. Did you catch what John is saying here? By this we know love. This is how we get to realize what love truly is. Christ laid down his life for us. It is love that drove Jesus to lay down his life. Love is greater. Love is stronger. His love is stronger. His love awakens us to act. Jesus, who said, "Greater love has no man than this," then he laid down his life for his friends and then went and did it. Love compels us to give to those we see in need. If you are not willing to love in this way by giving, I would seriously doubt whether or not you truly know the one who gave it all for you. One does not fully grip the immensity of Christ's suffering, the eternal cost that it exacted from him, and the unthinkable pain that came with his sacrifice. And understanding all of that, walk away with anything less than a grateful and generous spirit. When we truly understand the extent of our blessings in him, the eternal riches that are ours in Christ, and the inexhaustible provision of God who gave his son for us, you won't be able to keep yourself from giving to other people. You'll want to do this. It will be on your heart. It'll beat in your chest. It'll go through your veins. It'll be everything that you do is, how can I give to you now? Because I have been given so much, I have need of nothing. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything that I need. So what are you scared of? What are you holding on to a hope chest for? See, we are challenged to give our lives to one another in response to what Christ has already done for us. Let me ask you, what's not included in this deal? Right response, nothing. Nothing is not included. We are called to give everything. If you are to lay down your life, there is nothing that that does not encompass. We give up everything for one another. That's what family does. So release your grip, tighten your belt, and give it all away. Once the first church ditched this mine mentality, no one ever had need. Every need was met. So vehemently, fervently met, that Luke writes, "And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them." And what was the result of that generosity? Testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. People knew the church of Jesus because the apostles in the first century church were busy giving their money and possessions on behalf of one another, to benefit one another, to show love to one another. It wasn't a service project. It wasn't a missions program. It wasn't a homeless shelter. It was one another that served as a beacon for this testimony. This testimony was present because they were loving one another. So release your grip. Tighten your belt. Give it all away. Can we be honest for a moment? This is an awkward passage. And frankly, an awkward message. Because for the last 4.5 centuries, we have been trying to be a church that reaches beyond these four walls, right? To reach out into this community. To make sure that we don't become a holy huddle. That's not our purpose here. We are not a spiritual country club. We are church on the move. We are in enemy territory. We need to be working on that. We need to get beyond these four walls. And it now feels like this passage is saying we've gotten it wrong. Doesn't it? I've got good news. That's not what it's saying at all. I think what it's illustrating is that in our fervor and passion to reach beyond these four walls, we can never forget to reach within them as well. It's okay to think outside the box, but don't be afraid to think inside the box every now and again. We need to reach within these walls too. We have needs represented in this room right now that no one else knows anything about. Maybe it came to your mind as I was illustrating earlier. Maybe it's another need that's been on your mind for a long time. We must be loving our church, these people who are our church, enough to meet those needs. And then, like the first church, we must be willing to meet those needs. So let's do something courageous. Let's do something crazy. I have in my wallet $20 cash. It's not much, but considering I normally carry $0 in cash, this is all I have on me right now. This represents my possessions. I'm probably not going to sell my house. My wife would kill me. I'm probably not going to get rid of my van because I need to get my son places. But right now, I have these $20. This represents all that I have. What if we each did this? What if we just gave what we have in our wallets and purses right now? Maybe it represents the Starbucks run for the day. Maybe it's the cash we would use for lunch after church today. Maybe it's just the change we have left over from our most recent run to the grocery store. Whatever it is, it represents all that we have on our person right now, all that we possess right now. In this moment. And what if, just like the first church, we release our grip, tighten our belt, and give it all away? And what if we ask God to bless this offering we're about to give and use it to communicate love for his church, the people, not the programs? And what if it ends up, whatever ends up in this box, was distributed to each as any had need? I'm not asking you to simply pray and see if I am asking you to simply pray and see if this might be one time where you could part with everything you own to show love to the person you sit with every Sunday. Above and beyond your typical tithe. Above and beyond your typical service. To give as I've heard it, to give until it hurts. I'm going to have some music playing. Consider it. Be praying and give as God prompts you.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yeah, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yeah, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Our love, 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 by our love. By our love.
God, for the sacrificial giving that communicates love to this church, that demonstrates the love you have shown us. Use it in a mighty way to show your love to those in need today. We ask this all in your name. Amen. This chest is full of hope and love for our church. Now, this isn't normally how we handle offerings here. And even in the first church, I suspect they were a little more intentional about how they distributed the money. But one of the ways we communicate love for one another is generosity. Another way we communicate love for one another is honesty. So if you have need, honestly have a need, you have access to what is in this box. This is just a sampling of some of the ministries in the church that the elders and deacons and so many others do as an act of service, out of love for this church. But it is only a sampling. Take what you believe you need, because the money is going to go to others that have need in the church. Take what you believe you need and leave a written testimony on the journal that's in front of that box of how today the Lord met your need through this church. God wants us to be a people who share our needs as generously as we share our possessions. Write what that need in that journal as well. confident that God wants to meet your need through his body, the church. Share your need. Maybe you become vulnerable this week in your small groups. Share your need. Maybe you want someone to pray with you about God's intervention on your behalf. We have prayer meetings Wednesday nights and Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. Share your need. Maybe you just get together with someone that you trust. Share your need. Understand me, this exercise is as much about making sure everyone's needs are met as it is about making sure we're willing to share those needs with everyone else. This is a hard one, folks. Loosening our grip and giving. Loving our church is knocking down fences, living in genuine, authentic community. It's picking up the broom and dustpan, the rake and the hammer, and serving one another. It's tightening up our belt and giving it all away. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, if there are any of us here with a prideful heart, unwilling to tell others that they need help, or holding on to our possessions so tightly, I pray that you would tear down those fences of self-worth and false independence. Help us to love one another so much that we see each other's needs and rejoice at the opportunity to serve them, to serve each other, and to love and live in community, to love your church as you do.